Hello, hello, and welcome back to eMoney's Knowledge Base podcast. My name is Brett Tharp, and I'm excited to be back to host our latest podcast episode. We here at eMoney are off to a fast start in 2026, and we hope you're having a strong beginning to the new year as well. So with that in mind, today's conversation focuses on some eMoney-specific beginning of the year suggestions and considerations to make to get the most out of our software capabilities and solutions. My fellow training colleague, Jennifer Rock, stops by the podcast for an insightful conversation that will leave the audience with several key takeaways that promote sound financial planning while also maximizing your time within our platform. So, with all of that said, let's begin.
Please be advised that this podcast contains purely educational information, and nothing discussed may be construed as legal, tax, or financial advice. Please consult a financial advisor for any financial investment or money management questions. All views or opinions represented in this podcast are solely the opinion of the speaker and do not represent those of eMoney Advisor LLC or any of its affiliates.
Hey, Jen. Welcome to the Knowledge Base podcast. We are very happy to have you join us today. As this is your first time sitting down with us, would you mind first just sharing a little bit about yourself with the audience here, maybe current role, background, how long you've been with eMoney, and anything else you'd like to share?
Sounds good. Hi, Brett. Thanks so much for having me. So I've been with eMoney for just over 8 years, started in customer service, and now I am part of the training team. I naturally landed here as my background is in teaching. So I love that I'm able to kind of meld my two worlds together and bring my teaching knowledge to educating our advisors. It's my favorite role that I've held in the company to date.
Yeah, and that's something that you and I both have in common, maybe some other things as well, but we certainly have a passion for educating, for empowering, in this case, our users on the best way to use the software and get meaningful solutions with their clients. And it's always been great working with you over the amount of years that we have. So thank you for sharing that. And just to kind of set the table for today's conversation, as hopefully our listeners will remember, back in December, I sat down with Joe Berman. Joe is in eMoney's practice management and consulting group within our financial planning team. And he shared some great ideas to consider incorporating into your own workflows regarding end of year planning. He offered a lot of great insights, one of which was the idea of that client service calendar that gives you different items and topics and themes and things to bring up across each month of the year. So that's a great little practice management piece. Since we ended 2025 with a topic about year-end planning ideas, I figured it was a very timely and relevant thing to have one of our initial knowledge-based podcast episodes focus on more considerations around beginning of year planning and thoughts. So that's where I'd like to focus our conversation here today, and it's primarily going to be on things that are inside of the eMoney platform. And you immediately came to mind, as you said, you have extensive experience with the company and a lot of great insights to share. So going to pick your brain a little bit here. Feel free to pick mine as well, and we'll have a nice dynamic discussion here all about beginning of year considerations. So with all of that said, we can go ahead and get started. So
sounds good.
We'll try to organize the actual flow for today's discussion here across some different themes and pillars of eMoney technology solutions and capabilities. Let's first start out with something that should be fairly simple and straightforward. It might get overlooked somewhat often, but I'd like you, Jen, to maybe share some items to potentially review that are found in every user setting.
Sure, absolutely. And I agree with you. I think that these are often overlooked and they have great impact should they be left outdated. Things like contact information in your settings. You know, if we don't have updated contact information, then that's flowing to what you're creating for your clients, and that doesn't present a very good picture. So making sure that your contact information is updated, your phone number, address, email, any designations that you might have recently obtained, let's get those in there. Things like broker-dealer disclosure updates. Has anything changed? Does anything need to be updated? It's always worth a review. And I just think on an annual basis, that's a good cadence to be able to set for yourself and be able to remember and hit on that annual basis. I think just rounding out the settings as I'm visually trying to picture, I think sharing rules are also a really good idea to revisit and make sure that are there any new employees that you need to share your clients with? And what about those employees that may have left? Do you want to remove their access? So things like that, I just think that a review of the settings is always a great way to set yourself up leading into the new year. So is there anything else that maybe you might pick on, Brett?
Plenty of things in my head, as you know, Jen, but two items come to mind. And since you just identified the sharing rules, very similar to just the concept of a sharing rule for sharing internally client profiles and everything, I would also say now is a good time to revisit those alliance partners that you have potentially put in place. As a reminder, alliance partners can be viewed as third-party financial professionals that work with your client, where maybe there is some opportunity to make sure that we're working off of the same information, to share various reports, insights with maybe that tax professional so they can share back, hey, here's what I'm calculating for the tax burden in this year. And then you can obviously replicate that into the software. So, in case there's any new alliance partners that you're hoping to incorporate into your approach, or maybe relationships change and evolve, and maybe there's some alliance partners that can be reviewed. So it's still just a good opportunity, and now's a good time to just take another look and see if any changes need to be made there. Other idea that kind of popped in my head too is around lead capture. I think this gets overlooked. It's a great way to include a hyperlink so that maybe prospective clients can get an initial idea of what you can potentially help them with. You can include it in your emails and on social media and all that stuff. But maybe you want to have a new lead capture message for things that you want to stress in 2026, or if you just want to change that at all to make it fresh. Now could be a good time to review that and just make sure that it's using the language and everything that you prefer for the current year. And that actually kind of leads me to the next point, since we're talking lead capture, and what involves there is basically a client portal getting set up. It segues naturally to maybe some different considerations and insights for how to review an existing client portal for a client, and maybe some ways to strategically use the features with your clients. So, what are your thoughts there, Jen, in terms of the client portal?
Great points that you brought up, and the client portal being one of my, honestly, one of my favorite features that we offer. Your ability to connect with your clients through the client portal is just endless. And I think one of the features that just automatically comes to mind for me is the onboarding wizard. It was actually recently enhanced, as you know. So I just love that as a possible touch point with your clients. Obviously, you can use it to introduce the portal and start to gather some information from your clients, but it's also a great annual touch point just to send your clients through onboarding again and just ensure that you have the most updated information, that nothing has changed, and allowing them the capability to go in and edit that information, add it and remove as necessary. I just think really puts them in the driver's seat, allows for more of that collaborative experience. So yeah, I would definitely call out the onboarding wizard. And one of the nice things about the onboarding wizard is it goes very nicely with our alerts and tasks. I think that this is often overlooked. The fact that you can set up alerts for yourself if your client is making any changes to information. So when I'm talking about your client updating information, if you got a little squirmish and said, you know, well, what are they updating? I want to know what they're updating. There's an alert that you can set for yourself to be alerted if your client is in there and making any changes. And then you can just follow up with your client after the fact and maybe elaborate from there. So I think those two would really be my call out. And then I would also reference the vault. I think that the vault is a great opportunity for you to share information back and forth with the client. Lots of different uses for the vault, but those would be my main takeaways. What would you think?
I'm completely with you. And just to piggyback a little bit off of the comment about the vault, we did mention in the end of year planning episode that it could be a good idea to generate those year-end cash flows and income tax projections and net worth and balance sheet reports. They can be a great reference back to what it was for the end of 2025. But now, if you didn't do that, now is a great opportunity. And even if you have, I would still say, well, it's still good to generate beginning of year 2026 cash flow, income tax, net worth, et cetera, et cetera. At the very least, it could serve as a reference for you and for your team to use. And again, I think it's a good idea to proactively generate the various reports and give us those reference pieces back. So that is what I'm thinking there. And just generally speaking, I'm so happy that you brought up just the alerts and tasks. I'm with you. I feel like these aren't always taken advantage of. And it can be a great way to make sure that you have that collaborative experience with your client to ensure that they have some skin in the game, that they're working with you, and that you're also keeping your team accountable and yourself accountable by assigning tasks and whatnot. So really like how you brought that up. Another item that is oftentimes associated with the client portal are pieces of aggregation, right? Or connections. Both advisor and client connections. So I think this is another good little segue here. Any thoughts on, okay, it's the beginning of the year, how we can potentially look at active connections and everything like that and do any type of reviewing?
Our connections dashboard makes it really easy to do, if not annually, hopefully not just annually, just periodically clicking into that dashboard and just ensuring that everything is up to date, that nothing requires your attention. That dashboard makes it really easy to filter for either connections that are owned by you, that maybe your credentials have changed and you need to update them. You know, we're all very familiar that everybody wants us to be updating passwords in a timely manner. So if you've done that and you haven't done it in eMoney as well, then that connection is going to be out of date. And making sure that those are not out of date and that that information is flowing correctly is essential. And that plays true for your client as well. You can see if your client's connections have any errors and if they need to be updated at all. And then again, circling back to using tasks for that, you can assign your client a task to go in and update the credentials on their connection. And that can appear on their client portal where they're reminded to go in and do that. And then not a lot of people realize they can actually click that they have completed that task and then you're communicated that completion. So again, I just love that we situate those tools there to be able to work collaboratively with your client.
Absolutely. That's the name of the game. We've experienced this over the last 25 plus years at eMoney, seeing the value of collaboration with clients, making sure that it's the plan that we're all putting together as opposed to you on your own as the financial professional just delivering to a client. When clients feel like there's that buy-in, that they're involved in the process, it tends to lead to those stickier and stronger types of relationships. Very glad that you called that out and that we're bringing as much attention to alerts and tasks, because again, they can really help you move the needle in terms of keeping engagement and collaboration with your end clients. With that said, I think we've offered a lot of really great insights that are all, for the most part, outside of an individual actual client data set or assumptions that are being used. And obviously, assumptions and our facts make up the projections that we're putting together. And so they're critical. So in terms of a couple of assumptions or items, what would you say advisors and users should be focusing on and making sure that they review to ensure that their 2026 projections are looking accurate?
How about simulation assumptions? We give you the ability to choose when your simulation is going to start. Are you choosing January 1st of this year? Are you choosing January 1st of next year? Whatever your choice is, I think that revisiting that and making certain that the choice that is currently reflected is reflecting your choice for moving forward. If, for instance, you made a choice of January 1st of next year, and here we are in January of 2026, if I made that choice last year, then now the simulation is looking at January of 2027. So you need to make sure to go in there and just make sure that that choice is reflective of how you want your cash flow simulation to be positioned when you're presenting it to your clients. So I think that that would be a great assumption to just verify that it's in place correctly.
And obviously, as many of our users know, there are a number of other important assumptions. And although I would agree with you, Jen, to start off looking at those simulation assumptions and ensuring that you're using the appropriate time frame, I want to just extra emphasize something that you mentioned, that eMoney will, as much as we can, will try to avoid making assumptions for our users in terms of their clients and their clients' facts or assumptions. What I'm trying to say here is we put each user into the proverbial driver's seat, and you are basically on the hook to revise client data when it needs to be updated. So just as a very basic example, let's say we had a client entered into the software, and in 2025 or in a previous year, we said they're making $100,000 a year in the salary. And just as a round number, it's going to inflate by 5% each year. Well, if we were still in the prior year, when we project out to the following year, we would apply that inflation assumption. Okay. But when the calendar year literally turns over and now we're in 2026, right, eMoney is not going to go back and revise that income value from $100,000 to $105,000, right? It will remain at $100,000. So for things like income and expenses, especially those two items, right, it will be extremely wise and prudent to review these. And if you would like to show, okay, we're going to apply this inflation for the next calendar year, then you can manually update that value yourself. Again, eMoney will not override that for you. So I just like bringing as much attention to that and making sure the expectation is known. Any other thoughts or ideas there, Jen?
No, that's a great point. I think that remembering, and you said it, but just being very mindful and remembering that eMoney doesn't automatically change anything for you. And I think that oftentimes people might make the assumption that they are. So that's a really good point to take away. How about your more of that planning maniac, you're more planning minded. How about any additional assumptions that you'd like to identify and encourage users to review at the beginning of the year with that planning hat on?
Yeah, you know, I love wearing this hat and I wear it proudly. So definitely have a couple more insights. Now we're going to get a little bit deeper into the weeds, but calling out particular areas generally that fall in the income or gift tax realm of things. So as an example, when we go into our tax assumptions, there are fields for us to account for any capital loss carryforwards that we couldn't apply in a prior tax year that are still available to us. Also charitable donations that maybe exceeded a certain AGI limits. We will certainly take that value and apply it in each year that we can going forward that you enter in as far as that carry forward amount. But we will not, again, when the calendar year turns over, make the adjustment for maybe what was actually applied and therefore any amount that remains. So it would be very smart to review these tax items that were entered previously and make the appropriate adjustments. Furthermore, there's another area outside of tax assumptions is actually found in the miscellaneous assumptions in the gifting tab. This is where we can account for any taxable gifts that were potentially incurred in the prior year. Now, hopefully, right, usually it's a wise strategic planning technique to try to avoid incurring taxable gifts so that you can ensure that a full exemption is available at upon death or throughout lifetime. But again, if there were some taxable gifts, if we exceeded the annual gift tax exclusion amount for any individual person and therefore incurred some taxable gifts, be sure to document and add those in, again, in the gifting tab of our miscellaneous assumptions for the client. Of course, right, I still have a couple more things to share, Jen. I promise I'll be quick. But we're talking taxes. This might seem kind of simple, but obviously we have ways that we can demonstrate a client moving to a different state, and we can do this very easily in a plan. But maybe this has actually happened. The client has finally retired, or they downsized, they moved maybe to be closer to family or for whatever other reason, and they're in a totally different state. Well, be sure to go back into your tax assumptions, into the tax rates tab. This is where we can adjust any state tax assumptions for both income and death taxes. Be sure that maybe if you said, hey, we're going to apply something in the future, hey, we're going to move to Florida in the future, that has actually happened. Now you can simply remove the fact or the assumption that is going to move them in the future. Okay. So again, it's just a matter of cleaning up information. E-money is not going to remove information or change things, or we try to limit that as much as possible so that, again, you are fully in control of the client's profile and projections. The last thing I'll mention, and it's not necessarily something that has to be done at the beginning of the year. However, I'm very passionate about this. I think it's a great item to include just during your own types of analysis. Even if you don't share this with a client, I think you would be serving them very well. And now could be a good time to maybe re-look at some of this stuff. Do we have Social Security benefits? And have we considered going into a plan or a what if to say, what if these benefits, what if we don't receive the full amount that we were anticipating before? Because according to different research outlets and everything, right, there's going to be anticipated benefit reduction in some years. And what we can do, and now could be a good time to kind of just address some of this or just at least analyze it, is let's see if there is a reduction. I keep on hearing about 83%, right? That could come into play. Maybe we run a plan or a scenario that shows, all right, what happens if indeed that reduction occurs, how reliant or sensitive are we on these Social Security benefits for our clients? And that is maybe something to work through throughout the rest of the year. So just something I wanted to kind of call out, something that I'm certainly passionate about. And to be clear then, again, you could certainly have this conversation throughout the year, but if you haven't done already, now would be a great time to begin to do so. Jen, the time always flies, especially when I'm talking, but I want to be respectful of your time, of our listeners' time, and ensure that we have as concise and precise of a conversation as possible. So thank you for the time that you've given us so far. We'll look to wrap up the episode in just a moment or two, but I wanted to give you an opportunity to potentially pass along any other final thoughts or considerations or ideas or suggestions for our audience members to consider to ensure that, again, they're starting off the current year on the right foot.
Sure. I think that everything that we've raised is worth a mention. And I think that from everything that we've mentioned, it would be worth making a plan. Review what worked for you in e-money and make a plan to either continue down that path or make the changes that are necessary and visit these items that we've mentioned and just ensure that you are on a level set when you're getting ready to move forward with the year and planning for your clients and be confident that you have all of the facts in there and they're representative of how you want e-money to work for you and reflective of what your client is looking at assessing for their future. But setting a plan for yourself. I often hear, I don't know which way to go. Make a plan, create a plan from everything that we have mentioned and then move forward with it and pivot as necessary. But I love that I was able to join you here today. So thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. No, my pleasure, Jen. And again, the insights that you have are very much appreciated, and I know they're going to benefit our listeners. I have just two last items that I'll share with the group, and I promise I will wrap up after that. So maybe it's the beginning of the year. Well, no, it's not maybe. It's the beginning of the year, right? Now, if your maybe a resolution or a goal or objective for this year is to potentially become even more proficient with eMoney software, well, you're doing a great thing by listening to this knowledge-based podcast episode. We would also just strongly encourage you to leverage all the available resources that we make available that are found in the help menu, in the training menu that takes you to the Learning Center, which is a separate learning management solution that allows you to take different courses, attend different live sessions, things like that. We also have our customer support. We have our eMoney blog. I would just say keep all of these resources handy, leverage them as much as you need to, because you do have a lot of support and help that is out there. It's just a matter of finding it and sometimes just putting your hand up. Okay. So definitely continue to leverage all the great learning and support resources that eMoney makes available with your subscriptions. The last thing that I'll have users just consider, if you're not doing it already, and even if you are, I think now is a great time to potentially visit your analytics, right? Analytics are essentially a way for you to slice and dice and understand your book of business. It can help identify maybe areas of opportunity or even vulnerabilities. It's the beginning of the year. Now it's a great time to be proactive. Take a look at the analytics, maybe identify different segments, client types, maybe trying to get assets held away. Maybe you can do a filter for a particular financial institution. And maybe if they're in the news, not for good reasons, but maybe you can be proactive and, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Client, this bank is, it looks like they could be in some trouble. I know you have an account or you've added an account that you have with them on your client portal. Are you aware of what's going on? Should we maybe put a plan of action in place to ensure that we mitigate any types of loss or just impact from what's going on with that institution? A lot of different ways that you can leverage the various views and filters that are available in analytics. And again, I just think now is a great time to use this area in case you're not already, or even if you are, again, it's now is a great time to tap into your analytics. So that said, Jen, I will now officially wrap up our conversation. But again, I want to express my gratitude to you for your time, for the ideas and insights that you shared that undoubtedly are going to impact positively our user base here. So again, thank you so much. And yeah, look forward to a great year with you.
Thanks, Brett. I hope to see all of these listeners in some of our trainings moving forward. We offer it regularly. So come and see us in training, guys.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Brett.
One final thank you to Jen for sharing her time and thoughts with us. And of course, a big thank you to you, the listener, for your time and attention as well. We hope today's episode has given you several action items to follow to ensure solid financial planning and client engagement throughout the entire year. Kate will be back to host our next knowledge-based podcast in just a couple weeks, and I'm very much looking forward to that. But until then, this is Brett Tharp signing off for today. We'll talk again soon. Take care.